Hello, I'm Professor Lou. Welcome to our live stream. Today, I'm going to be continuing our Anatomy for Artists series, focusing on the bones in the leg. If you would like to grow as an artist and you can't afford an art class, we've got everything you need here at Art Prof: critiques, tutorials, and professional development. This is a series of videos. We've done several of them, including the eyes, the back torso, and I do recommend to watch the series from the beginning because all the information builds upon previous videos. We are going to be talking about the bones and the legs, and for the purposes of today's video, guess what? You guys do have to use some of the anatomical words because in this video, if you don't, it is going to get very confusing. So most of the time, I just say front and back, but in anatomical terms, front is anterior and back is posterior. And I'm going to ask that you guys memorize these two because these are the two that if you don't memorize them, you guys are going to be screwed when it comes to trying to understand the leg. So if we're talking about bones that are on the inside, those are called medial, and the bones that are on the outside are called lateral. Make sure you memorize this. It will help you with everything in anatomy because these words, lateral and medial, they're going to come up later on when I go over more parts of the figure. It's not isolated to the legs. It's just this is the first stream where if we don't differentiate between medial and lateral, it's going to get very confusing very fast. So everybody remember this? Lateral is on the outside. Medial is on the inside. So if you think about like your ankle bones on the inside are medial, the ones on the outside are lateral. All right, for this stream, like many of the other ones, we do have to do a little bit of review because the thing about the legs, they're pretty substantial in terms of the proportion of the figure that they amount to. So I really recommend you guys watch this stream, which is part two, and it's got Christian Bale in it. I haven't had a lot of time with Christian Bale lately, but this video talks about the orientation of the human figure in terms of the head, the torso, the legs. So this is a really important concept for you guys to understand, because if you don't understand this, nothing in the legs is going to make any sense. So quick review. The human figure, it's not a stack of blocks. A lot of people think about it like that, but you know what? Christian is not built that way. I'll show you how he's built. His head sits straight up. The neck actually tilts forward, which a lot of people sometimes don't see immediately because it's not very clear, but it actually does have a tilt. The rib cage tilts forward. The pelvis tilts back. And then the thighs also tilt back. So this idea of just putting one body part on top of another, it's not like that. You really have to think about how do they orient themselves in relation to each other. That is very important to understand. The only part of the human figure that really is like straight is the lower leg. Everything else is tilted in some way. So look for that, because sometimes when you're drawing figures, it's not that clear. Oftentimes it looks straight, but if you're not really looking for the tilt, you're not gonna see it. So it can be tricky in a couple of other situations. Okay, now let's get really specific about the angles of the leg. Here's the thing. I think a lot of people, if they think about a leg, your first thought is, oh, it's straight, right? It's straight. If somebody's standing up, it's going to be vertical. I would say that's the layman's assumption about what a leg does. And you know something, you guys, I blame the red carpet photos from all of those award ceremonies for why we think about the leg as being this straight vertical, because like every single photo that you guys see on the red carpet is somebody striking a pose like this. Does anybody remember when Angelina Jolie did this? This was in 2014 at the Oscars, And people just went wild over this photo of her laugh. I'm like, you guys don't have anything better to do. There is a Twitter account for Angelina Jolie's leg, which is just hilarious. But I think poses like this really are responsible for people thinking about it that way. And so oftentimes when people are posing, they're doing it in a way that pushes this concept of it looking like a straight vertical. And so it prevents you, I think, from really seeing some of the subtleties in terms of the angling of the leg because of the way people stand. I mean, I find these red carpet photos a little bit alarming because they're all doing the exact same thing. I'm like, really? There's no other way to stand? I guess not. And so when you have a leg that's tilt, then you say, oh, well, it must be because the leg is bent, duh. Okay, so for example, if somebody's standing up, if you're Selena Gomez, and you have your leg bent, of course, duh, then we're gonna see a tilt. But the thing is, that's not where the tilt is. The tilt is inherently in the leg. And that's a very different thing than a leg that is just bent. They're not as straight as you guys think. I know they look so straight on Gal Gadot, but you know what? Not everybody has her legs, so. All right, it all begins with the femur. The femur is the bone that messes up everybody, and people chronically misunderstand the femur. Like, I feel bad for the femur. It's like nobody understands what the femur really is. And there's just so many assumptions people make about this bone that I just don't think people take time to understand. So we're going to give you the attention you deserve, femur. Slutnir says, isn't the leg looking like it is straight because of the high heels? Well, the high heels certainly help. I mean, they certainly elevate the leg and create that straight vertical in a way that does get accentuated. Yeah, and like Maya Hika's saying, I think they have their legs like that because it makes them look taller. It's a photography trick. Absolutely. I mean, people have different perceptions of beauty, obviously, depending on time period and where you live, but at least at the Oscars, the longer, the better when it comes to legs. That's typically what people are looking for. So it makes sense to me that they would do something like that. Okay, so here's the thing about the femur. It's at an angle. Like inherently, it's at an angle, okay? I mean, I know it's hard to see in a lot of the photos, but if you guys search for it, does everybody see how the femur, it's not right down the middle, okay? It's not like a roll, okay? It's actually very close to the edge of the hip, and then it like shifts to the left or the right, depending on which leg you're looking at. And that makes the femur so that it's at an angle. And nobody sees this. It drives me bats. Oh my gosh. I don't know why. Instagram keeps showing me all of these ads for people that teach anatomy online and everything. And it's just like making me mad because like every now and then something pops up. It's some diagram that somebody has drawn to try to show you where the bones are. And it's always in the wrong place. Like they never get the angle of the femur. They put it right down the middle like it's a puppet. That is not the way femurs work. Well, 10,000 crows, it's so nice to have you here again. I'm happy to be nerding out with you guys on anatomy. This is like my favorite thing, you guys. I mean, despite the slideshows taking forever to make, I enjoy every minute. It's just like really, really satisfying. So we have these angles to show you guys what's happening in the thighs. And so if you look at how the femurs are positioned, you will see that they are way far out on the hip, and then they move closer in towards the center of the figure once you get towards the knees. And that's the thing that people really miss. And this is so fundamental. Like if you guys don't get this one thing, it's like your legs are not going to work. It's so fundamental to the way the angles are put together. Neil is asking, isn't the femur the largest, strongest bone in the body? I'm not sure, but I have a feeling that those monkeys at the beginning of 2001, I sort of am thinking they had a femur because the femur that they had looked really big and chunky and it's got big ends to it. So yeah, I would suspect that would be the case. So the femur, it's at an angle. Let me show you guys, okay? No, 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 no. Everybody see this? like this infuriates me. Like, as an artist and as somebody who is familiar with anatomy, there should be a special place in the underworld for artists who teach online and tell people this is the case. Like, there should be a special room they send you to. Like, once you get past Cerberus and Hades and you enter the underworld, they're like, oh, you taught all those artists online that the femur was straight in the middle. You need to go here. They need to do that. This makes me so mad. This is not what it is, you guys, okay? So never ever do that. It's not down the middle, okay? This is what it is. You guys, that's such a big difference, okay? So the yellow one, which is right down the center of the thigh, that's what people think, and that's why all those puppet sausage triangle tube cube anatomy tutorials don't work. And when you come here, you see, oh my gosh, wow, that is a really big angle, and that profoundly changes how you guys will think about the muscles. And actually, there is a muscle that goes almost literally over that section called the sartorius. We'll talk about that later, but it shows that like twist that you get. It's such a beautiful, elegant form. It just makes me want to cry when people miss out on this because it's just the coolest thing, you guys. And it's not really until you get to the tibia, which is the lower leg, that things become straight again, okay? But the thing is, the tibia isn't even in the middle. It's forward, and I'll show you guys later on what that looks like. And it's like a lot of people think, oh, that's not such a big difference. I'm like, it is. It is when you get to the muscles. I mean, right now we're just going over the bones, but you guys will find when we start adding the muscles on top of the bones, where the bones are in relation to the muscles has everything to do with this, okay? So if you stick those bones in the middle of the leg, it does not work anymore. All right, so again, you can see on the right-hand side, it's very close to the edge of the hip, and then it leans towards the inside of the body when you get closer to the kneecap. Tibia is straight, so that is the bone that's in the front. It's your shin, okay? Has anybody here, if you guys ever hit your shin and it like kills, it's like it's so, so painful, it's because your tibia, it's bone right underneath the surface of the skin. So anytime you hit your shin, it's just, oh my God, it hurts so, so bad. So try not to hit your shin because it's not so fun. Well, it looks like some people think we should have art prof hell. Wow. Ooh, art prof hell. Wow. There would be a lot of rooms. I'm going to have to brainstorm all of the deadly sins you could get to be sent to art prof hell. So here in the tibia, okay, again, it's not down the middle. Look at where it is. It's pushed forward to the front of the leg. Everybody do this right now. Look at your leg and feel where your shin is. You can feel like there's a big hunk of muscle that's behind the tibia. That's your gastrocnemius muscle, which is a very substantial muscle. And so if you put the tibia in the middle, that gastrocnemius is going to be sort of mad at you because you're going to be taking up space that it's supposed to have on its own. Elizabeth says, I have bursitis on the exterior of my hip bone. I know where that spot is. Oh, wow. Oh, this is really great. I'm glad you guys are giving such concrete explanations because to me, the more you guys can relate these diagrams to real life, the better you're going to understand them. Okay. So here again, we have the tibia in the front, muscle in the back. Okay, remember, lateral is on the outside, medial is on the inside. This is where it starts to get complicated. Okay, so now we're looking at the front view of the femur. The tibia is the bone in the front. And the fibula, to me, it's like the sidekick. It's sort of like the Robin to Batman. So if we were to have a comparison here, I would say tibia is Batman, fibula is Robin, but Robin is very important, okay? He's there for comic relief and all those other reasons as well. So you need the fibula. It's just, it's not as big of a fuss as the tibia. So this is largely what you're looking at. The entire focus of the leg bones, it's dominated by the femur at the top, the tibia and the fibula as a duo. And then there are certain pieces and parts of these bones that I will point out to you guys that you'll see a lot more clearly. Okay. Thank goodness for all these track runners. If they didn't work out so much, I wouldn't have such good anatomy slides, because actually it was hard to find images of bare legs, because the only other people that do that on purpose are people on the red carpet. And so it's like a very self-selecting group of people who want to show off their bare legs online. Okay, so this is, I don't know how to say the first name, Usain Bolt, who is a major track runner right now. So if you look at his legs, look at the femur. Like, doesn't that look weird? Like, it almost looks wrong. I sort of feel like the first time people see this, they go, what? That's not, I'm like, yep, that's really what it is. The oversimplified version, there's a reason why it's oversimplified. It does not really capture the subtle nuances of balance. The way the bone is distributed between the muscle, it's just not that simple, you guys. It's way more complicated than that. Wow, we've got some people really, really questioning the tibia and the fibula. Lisa says, why two bones in the calf? And Neil is saying, why is the fibula there? Like, what's its purpose? It's got a purpose, Neil. Trust me. You're going to want to be nice to your fibula later on. You know, I felt so bad being so mean to Rossiana. And now I'm like, dude, I can't harp on anything anymore, because I'm just going to give the fibula an inferiority complex. Like, it probably already has one. I don't want to contribute to that feeling anymore. All right. So this is the lateral view of the femur. And one of the reasons this is so important is that if you guys look at the femur, it's not a very even bone. It's a little wonky and not very well balanced as a form. And so you really have to know which is the lateral side and which is the medial side. So there we have the tibia and then the fibula. Now, the thing that's important about the fibula and the tibia, you have to understand how they overlap, because there are some views where they overlap. There are some where they're just side by side. And so again, it's like, it's the relationships. You don't just look at the bones by themselves. You say, how does one bone relate to the other? Adrian says, I think having two bones, tibia and fibula, allow your foot to twist. That's in the arm. Your arm has two bones that are in here, and those two bones do twist. There's a structural thing that allows them to do, it's the radius and the ulna, and they like move back and forth. It's really fun. We'll get to that when we explain the arms, but yeah, maybe it's something like that. And Fab Geep is asking, is the femur slightly curved? Oh, you bet it is. You guys see that? Not straight, which is why I don't buy those puppet diagram things, because I'm like, guys, it's not straight. It's so, so curvy, okay? You got to see that. And then we have the tibia and the fibula at the bottom. Okay, so now we're going to look at the back view. And you guys can see, again, we have the tibia below, we have the fibula next to it. Put them all together and you've got a leg. And this is an amazing runner. I don't know how old she is, but she won the Olympics like decades ago and ran the Boston Marathon in 2019, which is just blows my mind. I mean, I don't think I could run a half mile marathon, my goodness, much less one when I'm way, way further down the line for my Olympic career. Okay, so here again, you can start to place where these things are, because the thing about these bones and the legs, a good proportion of these bones, they're all covered in muscle. Like, most of the femur is totally buried in muscle. But then if you think about the tibia, so much of the tibia is visible because of your shin. So this is where you have to be very conscious of, okay, what parts of these bones are visible and what parts really are buried under muscle. You have to see that difference. I want to give a shout out to Tom G. Thank you so much for the super chat. Tom G says, break a leg. Thank you very much. And remember, you guys, when you support Art Prof, you are giving access to somebody in the world somewhere who wants art education, but who can't afford to pay for an art class. You're supporting the ability of somebody else to learn visual arts in a way that maybe they did not have access to before. Okay, let's look at the medial, the inside part of the femur. And then we have the tibia, We have the fibula. Now, notice this, you guys. You see how the fibula, it's behind the tibia. You see that? So actually, from the medial view, you don't really see much of the fibula. It's sort of tucked there behind the tibia. And I also want to give a shout out to Fab Geek. Thank you so much for the super chat. You guys, every contribution you make to us does not matter the amount. It all goes to the same place to keep all of our content 100% free and accessible to everybody. All right, let's dig deeper into the parts of the femur. So if we look at the femur, there are two little bumps that are on the side, and those are called epicondyles. And this is where the lateral medial thing really starts to matter, because you need to know, okay, is it the lateral epicondyle or is it the medial epicondyle? And these you guys will feel. You can feel your epicondyles. I mean, they're really chunky. And one thing I would also say when we do start to talk about the knee, don't underestimate how big knees are. Tell me in the chat, when you guys draw the figure, do you guys think you tend to make knees too small or too big? Because for the most part, I tend to always see them drawn too small. Even on somebody who's fairly thin, the knee is really substantial. And a lot of it is because of the epicondyles. And then once you stick the kneecap on there and some tendons and look at it, it's like, oh my God, this is really big. It's getting really, really large. So never underestimate how substantial these bones are. Now, another reason why the femur, I think, is such an odd bone and why the lateral medial thing matters so much is because it has what's called a ball and socket joint at the top. And it's literally that. So basically on the femur at the top, you have what is referred to as a ball because it's like round thing that's sticking out. And then, whoa, look at that. There's like a ball and socket. Like one thing fits into another. And so that is the joint that allows the femur to connect to the pelvis, okay? So does everybody see how funny this is? It's like you've got the ball and socket joint, and then you can see how the femur like pushes out to the edges of the hip bone. That is really, really important. Oh, this is really interesting. Elizabeth says, my brother is very, very thin and his knees are enormous. Yes, so it does not matter what your body type is, knees are just very substantial. Like there's no way to get around the quantity of ligaments. And there's even these two little fat pads under the knees that I will show you guys later on. Ananin says, this is the best anatomy class I've ever had. Can you also teach in medical school, please? I don't think you want me to. I'm the type of person, you guys, like when I go to the doctor and they're like, oh, we just take your blood. I like pass out. Like I can't handle blood. It's just like, oh my God. I am amazed that people can do that for a living because that is so hard. Okay. Now this little thing that sticks out on the lateral side of the femur, it's called the great trochanter. I love this name. Like I think the great trochanter, I feel that it needs its own myth. Like, I feel like it's like, let me tell you about the stories of the great trochanter. Like, it just sounds very legendary. Like there's something, there's a fable about it. It just sounds really mythical. So I've always loved that word for that reason. And so one of the ways you can tell you're on the lateral side of the femur is if you can see the great trochanter. When that's visible, that means you're on the lateral side. So let's look at this. We will do a stream later on where I go over the individual muscles and I'll talk about those relationships, but I do want you guys to see where the great trochanter is just in the landscape of the leg because it's not always easy to see. It depends on the pose and the body type of the person, but it is so critical when it comes to the backside because look at this. It's right there. It's the party. Everything revolves around the great trochanter on the side of the butt. If you don't have the great trochanter, you're not gonna have anything else. So it's very, very important in that landscape. That's it, W315. Trochanter sounds like a Greek hero. Yeah, like trochanter, it sounds like somebody who did something very noble and very good and very brave. That's what it makes me think of. And if you guys want more information about the muscles in the lower back, the butt, you can watch this stream if you want to hear me really break it down. But I just want to show you guys really briefly how the great trochanter builds and interacts with all of these other parts. Okay, so you've got iliac crest, ASIS. If you want to be a big dork, you can call it the anterior superior iliac spine. Okay, confess, who here in the chat has used some anatomical terms that they learned in our videos to sound smart online or in person? I have done both. I'm always like, tensor fascia lata. Just love saying that. It's so cool. Gluteus maximus, gluteus medius, tensor fascia lata. Great trochanter. Look at that. It's like, if you don't have the great trochanter, you take that away, the whole gluteus medius loses its entire purpose in life. That's how major this bone is. And that's why you guys can see the femur is not in the middle of the thigh. It's such a critical part of the hip. Now, when you guys are looking at the lower leg, I do recommend that you begin with the tibia, okay? Because the fibula is there, but it's not that easy to find. And honestly, the first thing I look for when I'm doing a figure is I look for those bony landmarks. And the tibia is basically one huge bony landmark on the front of the leg. I mean, I feel like it's just a really easy given bone that a lot of people know. So it's not mysterious in any way. And gymnasts, you can see everything on them. And so this is a really cool image of Caitlin Ohashi. Did anybody see this video of her doing some gymnastics routine? It went viral, I think, a couple years ago. It was really hilarious. But I thought this is a really great image of two tibias being exposed at the same time. Maria says, bones are something I want to improve in my characters. The bony landmarks are usually what sell to me a cartoon character for me as something, quote, real. Yes, because that's what holds your characters together. If you don't have those bony landmarks, things get really mushy and noodly very fast. And so the bony landmarks, they don't even have to be super ultra accurate. It's just the overall feeling that there is a structure inside the character. That is really hard for a lot of people because a lot of people, of course, if you're looking at something, you're just going to look at the surface. I mean, that's what everybody does. But when you take the time and you start really thinking, okay, what's underneath that hair? What's underneath that muscle? That's when the true personality of the character really comes together. Neil says, I think I bumped my great trochanter against the wall yesterday. That's why it probably hurt so much. Yep. Basically, anytime you guys hit a bony landmark, it's gonna hurt because you're feeling it down to the bone. Like if you guys think about your butt, like there's a reason your butt is not a bony landmark. Like we wouldn't last 2 seconds if our butt was a bony landmark. All right, so let's look at the relationship. Does everybody see here on the lateral side that actually the fibula goes in front of the tibia? Everybody see that? So this is what you want to be conscious of. When you're looking at the tibia and you're looking at the fibula, ask yourself, where are they overlapping? Or maybe they don't overlap. But depending on the view that you're at, there are going to be times when they overlap, and that's what you guys really want to pay attention to. Now, you can see on the front, the tibia and the fibula, they're more side by side. But look at all the wonky stuff that's happening in terms of form. Like the fibula is so thin and elegant, and the tibia is so weird. Like, do you guys see how the tibia, it feels all strong, but I feel like at the bottom where it hits your ankle, it just goes bleh. Like it sort of turns into this massive melting lava towards the bottom. Like all of a sudden it just like dramatically becomes very wide and very massive. It's so different than the fibula, which stays very, very thin and very elegant. So this is where you guys really want to pay attention to the bones because they're just such fascinating forms. And this all goes into the muscles. Basically, anything that the bones do, that's going to affect the muscles. It's going to affect the ligaments, which is why I did a whole stream on this, because we do have streams that are just about bony landmarks. But I was like, oh man, there's so much to cover in the leg that we can't skip over this. This is really important. Okay, now on the medial side, you'll notice that the fibula is barely there. It's like behind the curtain somehow. So actually, the vast majority of your leg, if you guys feel the medial side of your leg, that's like all tibia. Like you're really not going to feel the fibula in there at all. WC says, oh yes, Caitlin Ohashi. It was a Michael Jackson routine. Actually, my daughter said to me the other day, she's 11. She discovered Michael Jackson. Well, she didn't discover him. She rediscovered him because we used to play 80s music for her when she was a baby. And I guess she was watching Michael Jackson videos on YouTube and said to me, it's not fair. You and Papa got all the good music. You got Michael Jackson and Jackson 5. And I'm like, yeah, sorry, you got Katy Perry. You just can't really compare the two if you ask me. Okay, so again, we're hopping to the muscles just really briefly so you guys can see that, wow, there's so many muscles here. But then look at this. Like that whole section is one gigantic canyon of bony landmark. It's great. It's just, it's so easy. It's like one of those questions you get on an exam where you're like, oh, I know it. It's like slam dunk. It feels so good. It's amazing. All right. Let's talk about ankle bones. Who here watched Cobra Kai? Me and Jordan were really into Cobra Kai. I thought it was really trashy when I first watched it. And then I just kept watching it. It just got trashier and trashier. And then, you know, when shows get to that point where they're just so, so bad that they're awesome, Cobra Kai definitely crossed over that line at one point. And I just was like, embracing the trashiness. It's just so over the top. Oh my goodness. I want to give a shout out to Ananin. Thank you so much for the super sticker. We greatly appreciate our support. And as you guys know, you can go down to the links in the video description below to get information on how to keep ArtProf up and running so we can stay 100% free all the time. Ankle bones. These are vastly underestimated. And honestly, you guys, if everybody on the planet drew ankle bones in every figure drawing they did, your figure drawings would be better, like automatically. Okay, confession time, guys. Okay, tell me in the chat, when you guys draw figures, how many of you guys regularly always draw the ankle bones? Or do you skip over them? Or do you only draw them when you have like a long time to work on the drawing? Because wow, once you guys start putting in ankle bones, you're like, oh my God, it looks like a foot. It's like magic. So if you guys want to transform that area of the body, like you really want those feet and legs to stand up, put in the ankle bones. It's incredible. It's such a small, small thing. They don't take a long time to draw, but just putting them in there is a really big deal. W315 is asking, what's that giant tendon in the back called? It is called the Achilles tendon. And we are going to be doing a stream that's entirely on feet. So I will go over that at some point. But yeah, that's a mega tendon. That's like, if you injure your Achilles tendon, is so bad. I mean, it's never happened to me before, but I've heard about how awful it could be. Trent says, I always draw the ankle bones, but I always forget which side is higher. That's an important thing because a lot of people think they're the same height, but they're not. One is a lot higher. It's the one on the inside. Okay, so here we have, this is the lateral malleolus, and it's on the fibula. And you guys can see it's right in there. Now, if you go on the other side, the medial malleolus, it's always higher. Okay, so just always remember that. The ankle bone that's on the inside, it's higher. You don't want to draw them at the same height because especially on a front view and a back view, it looks really wonky. So this is where you have to be very conscious of not just automatically putting things symmetrically because it does not work at all in terms of the anatomy. W315 says, is it the whole tendon, not just the Achilles heel? I can't remember W315. I haven't done my homework on the feet yet, but that whole general area is very much associated with Achilles because, you know, when you dip your kid in water to make them invincible, you can't be bothered to like flip them over and put their foot in as well. Like, duh, Achilles mom, you were not thinking that through. Fab Geek says, I don't think I've ever drawn the ankle bone before. Now I know better. Basil says, I almost only do 5 minutes or less figure drawing, so not much time for bones. Yeah, in 5 minutes, it can be challenging, but I think that the more conscious you become of these bones, the more likely you are to put them in sooner. So that's always an advantage, no matter what. All right. Now, this is a really cool way to look at the legs because oftentimes people are wearing sneakers or heels or whatever. I thank goodness everybody's wearing these heels at the Oscars. You can see all their ankle bones. It's fabulous. So if you look at Monique, I don't know who Monique is. I just know that this is a great photo of Malleolus. I'm sure some of you guys know who Monique is. So if you guys look at this, from this view, the medial malleolus, it doesn't look like anything. Like, does everybody see that? Like, you could easily look at this image and go, what ankle bone? I don't see that. But if you take the time, it's like, oh, yeah, that does stick out a little bit. And then you can see the lateral malleolus, which is on the fibula. That one sticks out a lot more from this view. It depends on the view. There's certain views where the ankle bones, for one reason or another, they're less visible. But on this view, you're really going to see it very well. Okay, thank you for doing the research. Ananin says, the whole tendon is called the Achilles tendon. It's also called the calcaneal tendon. Well, that makes sense because the heel bone is called the calcaneus. You guys, do you know how I know how to pronounce that? It's because there's a Quantum Leap episode where Dr. Sam Beckett lists off the names of all these bones and he says calcaneus. That's the only reason I know how to pronounce that word. Let's see. Lisa says, I think I get ankle bone heights wrong too, even feeling them right now, mentally reversed. All right, so let's see. Back posterior view, lateral malleolus. Does everybody see how droopy it looks from the back view? I mean, the foot is such a dramatic form. I mean, you guys are going to think I'm a big dork, but I was putting together these slides. Like, oh man, I can't wait to do a foot stream. It's going to be so good. Well, because people have so many problems with feet, and it's not necessarily because they don't know how to do it. It's people don't want to do it. Like most of the time, the part of the body that I have the most trouble getting people to draw is the feet. People don't like to draw the hands. I know you like to draw hands in the pockets. Yeah, people know that. But the thing is, with hands, you kind of can't get away with it as much if you want people to not have their hands in their pockets. But with feet, people really try to get away with it. I'm like, no, 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 no. It's going to make all the difference in the world when you really want to make a figure like stand. You can make them really have a presence. So the medial malleolus, remember, higher than the lateral malleolus. Wow, look at this. Good on her, says W315. I don't shave my legs either. Looks weird with a gown, though. Ooh, we got a lot of people that don't shave. Awesome. Guess what? I don't shave either. Actually, you don't have to shave when you're Asian because you have like no body hair at all. I remember being in middle school and like I had all these friends who would shave their legs. I was like, I don't have any hair to shave because I'm Asian. And I actually like wanted to shave. And now I'm like, I'm so happy I don't shave my legs. Great. That was probably a little TMI. Maybe you guys did not want to know that about me, but anyway. All right. So on the lateral view, the malleolus, very easy to locate. It just pops right out. Not difficult. Inside, I would say as well. I think it's sometimes the front and the back view that can be a little challenging. Okay. Cobra Kai again, because you know, it's hard to find pictures of people's bare feet online without going to a creepy place. So I was like, okay, Cobra Kai, karate, they're all barefoot when they're, okay, I'm gonna go there. So if we look at Miguel's feet, okay, this is a really good view because you can see on this side, the lighting's not great, but you can still see where the lateral malleolus is. And then, ooh, this is a good view, the Achilles tendon. So you can see the medial is there. There is lateral. And you see how they're shifted? Those are major structural things. If you guys really absorb that, you're going to have figure drawings that are not going to feel generic. They're not going to feel like mannequins. And I do think no matter what you guys are doing, if you are using the figure, most people want the figure to have a certain feeling of life and personality. And I think these are some of the things that very much help you to achieve that. Yeah, like Jill is saying, I have trouble making my feet look grounded. Yeah, and it's tricky because sometimes it's the feet, but other times it's the legs that are doing something wonky. But feet are difficult. And I think especially the front view of a foot, the back view, they oftentimes look strange. And so people don't really know what to do with them. So we will go over that. And we will certainly at some point have a draw along where we address the structure of the feet. Okay, let's talk about the patella. And that's the technical term. You can call it the kneecap. That's totally cool. Whatever you guys want to do. I don't know why. I always think about a patella as home plate in baseball, which is silly because I looked up a photo of home plate. I'm like, that does not look like a patella. I don't know why I always think about it as home plate. But that's the first thought that comes into my mind when I think about the patella. All right. It looks pretty much the same from the left side, I mean the lateral side and the medial side. But the weird thing about the patella is that it almost looks like it floats in anatomical diagrams. I mean, I know it does not literally float, but it's really shocking how much the patella is very much its own person. Like the patella to me is like a very strong, independent bone who's like, I am my own bone. I am my own self. And they just have such a great sense of confidence, as opposed to, say, the fibula, who's sort of the sidekick. I sort of think about the tibia and the fibula. It's sort of like my two guinea pigs. I have two guinea pigs. One is Wheat, and the other is Jub-Jub. Jub-Jub is a spaz. And I've noticed the thing about Wheat. Wheat will only do things if Jub-Jub does them first. He won't try anything unless he sees Jub-Jub do it. And when we take them outside of their cage, let them run around and stuff like that, Wheat follows Jub-Jub. He never goes off on his own. He'll only go somewhere if Jub-Jub leads the way. So that's sort of how I think about the tibia and the fibula. It's like my two guinea pigs. I don't know. Like Wheat, I hope Wheat always has Jub-Jub because I don't know what he'll do if Jub-Jub's not around. All right. So here's the front. And now let's look at the side. Now here, you guys can really see, look at that patella. I mean, it is like not even close to being like on the femur. Like it really is its own bone. And you can see the fibula and the tibia, they're very much connected. It's a very different dynamic that you guys are seeing there. I want to say thank you so much to 10,000 Crows for the super sticker. We greatly appreciate your support. You guys, thank you so much. You guys are what makes Art Prof what it is. I mean, we have all these videos, but to me, the community is really what Art Prof truly is. So you guys are making Art Prof such a lovely, supportive community that I just am so impressed by all the time. I'm like, wow, people are so nice to each other all the time. Like, what? Like, what's wrong with this place? All right, here's the medial view. And so now we have the patella floating in the front, and then tibia and fibula in the back. Lisa says, my patella does float. Isn't that normal? I don't know from a medical standpoint what it means. I guess what I'm saying is that it's unusual to have a bone that is so small and sort of separate because a lot of the other bones, they really fit each other. Like we were looking at that ball and socket joint, we're looking at the tibia and the fibula, like there's very much like jigsaw puzzle. To me, the patella, it's like it doesn't fit anywhere. It's just hanging out. Like I don't know, it's sort of like its own little island. I just find it unusual in terms of its shape for a bone. Neil wants more guinea pig videos. Yeah, well, if you guys look. You guys, okay, nothing makes me more sad than this. Okay, so you think about how much time goes into these videos, especially these anatomy videos, the slideshows. hours and hours to put together and color code and everything. Oh my God, it takes so, so long. I mean, I love it, but it's very time consuming. My daughter has a YouTube channel for our guinea pigs. It's called The Guinea Pig Train. You guys can check it out. And we have this one video of Jub Jub running up the stairs. It's like a 30-second video shot on a phone. And my daughter's not like monetizing her channel or anything like that. And then one day we're like, why does Jub Jub have 1,000 views? Because most of the other videos on that channel have like 50 views. And then my daughter's like, he's got 5,000. Like, I've been following. Jub Jub has like over 20,000 views. Like, do you guys know how much that makes me want to cry that Jub Jub has more views than my artistic anatomy videos? Like, that just makes me so sad. I'm like, YouTube gods, what did I do to hurt you? You guys are just putting me in pain. All right, let's take a look at a patella in context. So here we've got Serena Williams. She's got a very clear-cut patella, and the patella is great. I mean, I think a lot of people don't have difficulty finding it because, first of all, you can touch it. It's pretty clear-cut, but also, regardless of what the leg is doing, you pretty much can always find it. Like, there are certain bones, it's like, oh, well, you got to flex this or you got to stretch this out. Patella is so easy to spot. It's just a really nice given landmark for you guys to explore. Oh, Summer C says the patella is just held in place by tendon. Cool. And Basil says my patella floats as well, but I also have a lot of knee issues, so I'm not sure. All right. So let's look at the knee. Like I said before, the knee is a very substantial place, and this chart will explain to you guys why. Okay. First of all, the patella is large, very substantial, but there's all this other stuff. Look at this, the huge ligament. This is not like a little thing. This is like chunky Achilles tendon, hardcore ligament stuff. And then there's these two little fat pads that are underneath the patella. Now, answer this question for me, you guys. When you have drawn a leg, do you ever look at the leg and just go, oh my gosh, there's all these bumps. What is what? And it's very overwhelming because people just see all these bumps. Like, I don't know what's a fat pad, what's a tendon, what's a ligament, what's a muscle. And so I think at some point we will definitely do a draw along where I'll show you guys how to break down what every single bump on that knee is. Because the issue is that if you don't know what's what, the knee quickly just becomes this lump of cottage cheese. Like, it just feels random. It doesn't have any structure to it. So I'll show you guys how to do that in a draw along at some point. Thank you so much, Jasmine, for the super chat. We greatly appreciate your contribution. You guys, all these little contributions, you know, when we get a bunch of these at every stream, it goes a long way and that amount really does accumulate. So thank you so much. Okay. And so now you have fibula and tibia, and like every single one of these parts I'm showing you guys right now makes a bump. Like, the tibia makes a bump. The fat pads make a bump. Now, let's break it down. And actually, this is really cool. This is a female boxer, Clarissa Shields, on the far right. I read an article about her in the New York Times, and I just could not believe what she's up against as a female boxer. She said that none of the channels will carry her fights because she's a female boxer. And I just was sort of like horrified because she's like this brilliant athlete. Like, she's top of her game and is like having a lot of trouble getting exposure because people just don't have the same investment into female boxing as they do into male boxing. Okay, so this is a great patella shot right here. Okay, so here we have the femur. Now, my chart's not perfect because the view of the leg, it's not quite side or front. So I had to distort things a little bit, but you got the idea. So there's your femur. We have the patella on the right-hand side. Now you have it sitting on top of the femur. And then you have the tibia and the fibula in there, okay? Do you guys see how much muscle is behind the tibia and the fibula? So that's, again, you guys can't do those sausage puppet diagrams for the figures. Not going to work. Okay. So if we come back to the leg, this is what you're looking for. Like, if I were you guys, when you're drawing a leg, if you find the patella and you find the tibia, like you are set. Like 50% of the leg is like done if you get those two things in there. Now, of course, the other things help as well, but it definitely begins with the patella and the tibia and the front part of the figure. This Google slideshow is available, and if you guys want to access it, the link is in the YouTube video description below. And we also overhauled on our main site a page that's titled Art Resources, and all of our slideshows, all of our resources are all on there, and you guys can access those anytime you want. We have many other Anatomy for Artists videos that you guys can check out, help you guys build all of the knowledge you need to draw the human figure. Art Prof has a podcast. It's available on Spotify and also on iTunes. And in a few minutes, I will be hanging out in the Art Prof Discord. I will be in the post live streams channel because I would love to talk to W315 about a transparent jellyfish human leg. Would be so helpful to study with. You know, that makes me think about X-Men because there was that one scene where Senator Kelly got turned into a mutant by Magneto and he turned into a human jellyfish. Ooh, that was a cool effect. Anyway, all roads lead to X-Men. Subscribe to our channel so you guys can continue to grow and develop as an artist. And I want to say thank you so much to our top Patreon supporters who are making it possible for us to keep our content 100% free. And guys, look at this! Column 3! We've started the third column. I'm so excited. I mean, you guys, I remember when this slide had 5 names on it. I remember when we only had 1 slide, and now we have a second slide and it's starting to fill up. So everybody, thank you so much for watching. I'll see you next time. Bye.